The last time that I spoke to you, I talked to you about doing nothing. Remember that? Doing nothing. I hope that you've all done a good job with doing nothing. I know that for me it's worked out great. I've done absolutely nothing. Jill can't get me to do anything around the house. My boss is calling me nonstop. I don't know why. I have no sermonette for you whatsoever today. Nothing. I've done nothing. Every once in a while, you'll come across a line that the world hands you that becomes very, very valuable, just as application. There's a motto or a mission statement or a line that you hear that is very valuable and can apply to everyday living that just helps us get by. 7 or 8 years ago, I ran into this, and I've heard it a lot lately. And the line is, it's not about you. It's not about you. We've heard a lot, haven't we? Especially in the last 5 years or so, maybe a little bit longer. You know, it's not about you. When you're caught in traffic and somebody cuts you off, or, you know, you get poor customer service, or somebody treats you badly and you don't deserve it, it's unwarranted. Maybe a spouse doesn't treat you the way you think you should be treated. You don't get the, you know, we don't get the respect that we want to, don't get the love that we desire. It's really, when you really evaluate it, it's not about you. That's gotten me off the hook a lot. You know, when something just comes apart in life and you look at it, and you go back and you reevaluate and go, well, this was definitely not about me. Now, sometimes it is about me. But most of the time when somebody treats you poorly, it isn't about you. So today's sermonette is, it's not about you. We benefit from that approach. You know, my generation, and I would give, you know, 20 years, I'm not telling you my age, 20 years on either side of me, it's probably one of the most self-absorbed, self-serving, self-aware generations ever. You know, as I look at our country, you know, 200 years ago, we were worried about building a nation. And when things got bad, we were worried about our families. When things got good, we concerned ourselves with me. As a matter of fact, that's what it's called. It's called the me generation. We have learned to forget that we're part of a bigger cause, and we think in terms of how everything affects us. Well, as Christians, we understand, we know we can't do that, right? It's a fundamental understanding that's repeated over and over and over in the Bible. This isn't about us. You know, there's the old saying that, you know, when you're 20, you are worried about what people are thinking about you. And you're 40, you're like, I'm not going to really worry about what they think about me. Turns out when you're 60, you finally find out they weren't thinking about you in the first place. Well, that's how life really is. What about spiritually? How does this apply to our spiritual lives? You know, it's not about me. As mature Christians, we realize that we have to accept that, don't we? That life is over when we made that commitment at baptism as far as our wills, our desires, the path that we were on, right? We made a commitment to God. Turn, if you would, to Romans 6 and verse 3. Romans 6 and verse 3. And I do find myself, for whatever reason, this last year migrating back to this concept, because there's two sides to it, and I want to discuss that and how we respond to understanding that life is not about us. Romans 6 and verse 3, don't you know that many of us were baptized into Christ? Jesus were baptized unto his death. Therefore, we, you and I, are buried with him through baptism into death. We're dead. We're essentially dead to our wills, our wants, our desires. We've been given a new responsibility, a new vocation. Our ultimate responsibility is to bring people to an understanding that there is a loving God, there is a way of life, and there is his son, Jesus Christ. As we finish that scripture, and this is one of the key points today, just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead in the glory of his Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So, there's a different, you know, when we get to it, we get to the point of commitment, and whether we're considering baptism or we're baptized and been baptized for a number of years, we get to a point where we've made that commitment and it is a different way of life. It is no longer about us. Now, how do we respond to that? John 12 and verse 24 through 25, and you don't have to turn there. I'm going to go ahead and read that one, because it's the same concept, and the Bible is just chock full of this idea over and over and over. God continues to want to remind us, no matter what happens, this is not about us anymore. This is about him, it's about his son, and it's about what he can do in us. and that we have to wait expectantly to be so much greater than what we would have been had we not accepted him, had we not made that commitment. John 12, verse 24 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much, much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I mean, think about that. How many of us really passionately loved our lives when we made the commitment to God? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Well, we love our lives now, don't we? Because we're associated with God. Romans 12, verse 1 says we need to be a living sacrifice. Again, it just repeats over and over and over. I want to use a good example as far as someone, one of the patriarchs that we look to, that is a perfect example of somebody that couldn't get his mind off of himself and God begged him to do so, and that's Moses. You know, Moses, he has this experience where he sees this burning bush, right? And he said, God shows this burning bush, the bush doesn't burn. And he's obviously calling Moses. God is calling Moses. And Moses says, Who am I? Right? And then he says, you know, go tell the people who I am. I am the Lord God. Moses' response was, they won't believe me. They're not going to believe me. Then he shows them the miracle of the rod. And he throws a rod down, the rod becomes a snake. And he says, then, oh, you know, I'm slow of speech. You know, he starts listing his inadequacies. He hides under a rock, essentially. And then finally says, you know, didn't I create you? Didn't I create the world? Don't you see me everywhere? And Moses says, go get somebody else. Sound familiar? I think if we're honest with ourselves, each one of us do that. And that's exactly a response that God doesn't want. He wants us to see ourselves greater than who we could have become without him. The idea is that once you understand that it's not about you, you look and wait expectantly to be something greater than what you would have been. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, this is the flip side to Moses, but Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, this is what they have to say about Moses at the end of his life, which supports the point that I just said. "There has not arisen Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. All the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him into the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all the servants in his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of Israel." Well, here's a person that finally came to a point and realized it wasn't about him. It was not about Moses. It wasn't about Israel. It wasn't about Abraham. It wasn't about any of them. It was about God. Once we get our minds off of who we were or what we were, and we can all slip back into that, we can be greater than what we expected. In preparing for the Passover season becomes applicable. We are to see our inadequacies for sure, but we are also to look to the author and finisher of our faith, being confident that he will perform his work to the very end, right? In a much greater way than we expect. The days of unleavened bread show that. We take the bread in every single day. It's about our Messiah being in us every single day. Yes, we do the evaluation. We want to make sure that we're prepared for the Passover. But the joy of actually having Christ in us and being a changed person, it's not about us, is the point. When we see life as a Christian isn't about us, we become less demanding. We become less fatigued on doing it our own way. We gone to the limitations of who and what we could be. Every time our feet hit the floor in the morning and we understand it's not about us, it's about him, it's a different day, it's a new day. In conclusion, I just want to say again that we can respond. There's three different responses to it's not about you. A lot of people, the response can be, well, I've accepted God and I won't expect much more. I've relinquished the rest of my life, but I won't expect much more out of my life. And the other response, or could be response, is, well, I accepted Jesus Christ. It's not about me, but the health and wealth gospel kicks in, and it really does become about them. Mature Christians, ourselves, hopefully we accept the idea and we accept the understanding that this life is not about us. The way we worship is not about us. The way that we serve our fellow man is not about us. Our walk is no longer about us. I wanted to make one point, and that is, if anybody here in particular feels that I'm directing this sermon at them, I just want you to listen closely. It's not about you.